Hello and welcome. Today we're talking about Arizona's unprecedented real estate market. Sales have increased exponentially year over year. Typically, sales should be slowing down about now, late fall and into the holiday season, but are they? We'll take a look. Next, we're going outdoors to the birthplace of the Arizona Trail, which spans 800 miles across the state. We'll meet Flagstaff's big hikers of the 70s who had the vision and plotted, scouted, and staked many of the trails for us to enjoy now. And also a story that will warm your heart. Arizona Snow Bowl is creating an environment that expands participation, opening the mountain to a wide variety of people, wider than ever before, through new scenic gondola rides and also Snow Bowl's adaptive program. I'll introduce you to a new skier on the slope. Her name is Jessica, and she is hooked. First up is real estate. The cost of homes in Arizona have gone up higher than any other state, with the exception of Idaho. The increase year over year in our state right now is a whopping 29.6%. You're looking at a beautiful home in Cave Creek near North Scottsdale. Homes like this one are in huge demand because Phoenix is the strongest metropolitan market in the entire country. Giving us some perspective on what this means is Zion Realty's Lori Anna Harrison. Lori, thank you for joining me.
Bonnie, it's so great to be here with you today. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, great to see you. And I know you're in Flagstaff right now. I want to repeat what I just said. The Phoenix metropolitan area is the strongest real estate market in the country.
Yes, it has been an unprecedented time with year over year at 31% increase in the cost of homes in the Phoenix area. And to compare, the national increase is 18% according to CoreLogic.
Which is high already.
Yeah, absolutely. Very high. The reasons are because of the Arizona lifestyle. Indoor, outdoor living, people want to be outside, and that's driving demand. Also, jobs. We have big companies moving to our state, and it's bringing employment opportunities. The cost of living here is still better and more affordable than lots of other places. And the pandemic, it has something to do with this as well. People have given a lot of thought to what they want to do over the last year and a half, and they are putting lifestyle at the top of their priority list.
Yeah, they sure have. And so we're talking about lifestyle. Of course, we love our indoor-outdoor lifestyle. We love biking and hiking and eating and really just being outdoors. We should let everyone know that you are a real estate agent based out of Flagstaff. So let's take a look at the Flagstaff community and the cost of the average single family home there.
Absolutely. A year ago, the average price for a single family home in Flagstaff was $675,000. Now, that may sound like a lot, but listen to this. From October 2020 to October 2021, just in 1 year's time, the average home price went up 22%. So for the same home that was worth $675,000 a year ago, this October, home buyers would expect to pay $823,000. And that's an increase of almost $150,000 in 1 year.
That is just simply incredible. Now, here I understand is one of your listings. This is a beautiful mountain home in the Continental Country Club area in East Flagstaff. And tell me about this. This one sold this summer, I believe.
Yes, it sure did. We closed escrow on July 1st, and I listed it for $775,000, which blew the minds of the sellers. They had no idea the value, but it sold the weekend that we listed it for $875,000 cash, $100,000 higher than asking price, and it went just that fast.
That is unbelievable. Unbelievable, just in the first weekend showing it.
Mm-hmm. People went gaga over that house. And you can see how spacious it is with the windows, giving that amazing view to the Ponderosa Pine Forest and the Aspen Valley Golf Course. The thing is, right now, as of today, there are 53 single-family homes on the market in Flagstaff. And to balance the market with supply and demand, Flagstaff would need to have between 400 to 600 homes for sale right now. As I mentioned, there are only 53. Supply is anemic, and it's a problem. There is far more demand than there is supply. But cash buyers, they absolutely have an edge.
Well, there's so many concerns in Flagstaff right now, and we'll get to that in just a minute about the housing crisis. But I spoke with BT Builders in Phoenix yesterday and confirmed that the construction industry, as you said, is still trying to catch up. We have a low amount of new builds since the Great Recession when the housing market crashed. Home building virtually came to a standstill. Hardly anyone was buying at that time. Well, it's a different situation today. Builders are struggling to find workers in the trades. And there are big challenges when it comes to getting materials, basic metals like copper and steel, electrical wiring, window systems, air conditioning units. And the price of all of these things just keeps going up. And this is a national problem, of course. Building materials that we keep hearing, just like many things, are being held up in the harbors. Again, the impact from a workforce shortage, as truck drivers who move these products are also in short supply and big demand, all this is adding to the housing shortage. And that's especially evident in Flagstaff, as you just mentioned, Lori, where housing has long been a challenge.
It absolutely has, Bonnie. And in December of 2020, the Flagstaff City Council actually deemed it a housing crisis here in Flagstaff. And so they put together a 10-year plan, and they are going to work together with collaborations, et cetera, to bring almost 8,000 homes to Flagstaff to have them be built in the next 10 years. So just about 800 homes per year to help with the housing crisis and the absolute shortage that we have of homes here.
Well, that is a lofty goal, but I know we have some really great people working on that project. What are you seeing right now? This is typically, would you agree, a slow time in the real estate market. However, what's happening?
You know, Arizona, it's strong, and the market here is doing really well. In Flagstaff, we typically will see seasonality really high in the summer, and then it kind of gets a little bit softer typically around the holiday time. And we are seeing some of our normal seasonality, and that's in the valley as well, just normal seasonality. And the busy season starts there really in January when people finish with the holidays and start to come for Super Bowl and the Phoenix Open. And here in Flagstaff, we start to see the big swell of people coming typically in the month of May, but we're still very strong across the board.
It's interesting to note that realtor Amber Ramirez of Scottsdale with Realty Executives down here in the Valley says during this usually more quiet time in real estate, she's only seeing a slight slowdown. For example, she tells me that million-dollar homes that were selling within a month time of listing might take a week or two longer. That's it. That's the slowdown. So, Lori, for sellers, what kind of advice do you have?
For sellers, it's really important that their home is show ready and make sure that the home is staged, that it's clean, windows are taken care of, that it looks the best that it can, and really truly declutter and get those spaces neutral. People like to see something like a model home, and that really helps prepare the home for market and results in the highest dollar amounts for those sellers.
And you also have some advice for buyers.
Absolutely. So for buyers, make sure you're pre-qualified. When you find a home, they are typically going so quickly. You want to know what your buying power is before you go out there and tour your dream home. And just be ready to move quickly. That's once you find the one, there's not a lot of time to sleep on it. You're kind of making an offer and going for it.
Absolutely, and absolutely great advice. You shared a story that I thought just really summed up the market. Can you share that with us?
Yes, absolutely. So I represented a seller listing a home here in Continental Country Club, and I also represented the buyers here on the same exact home, and we were in escrow on it. And I received a phone call from a potential other buyer, And they said, we want this house. And I said, well, it's under contract. And they said, please ask your buyers if they will accept our offer. And they offered $100,000 more than what we were in escrow for right there at that moment. So I called my buyers and I asked them if they wanted to accept. And they said, no. They could have made $100,000 without even closing escrow, but that home was too valuable to them. Lifestyle, being right on the golf course, views of the mountains, and it was just too valuable to make that extra $100,000 in a few hours.
Wow. Well, more valuable than money, it seems. Thank you, Lori, for your insight and your experience. Really appreciate you joining me this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Bonnie, for having me.
And we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good.
Bye, Lori. For more about this red-hot real estate market, you can look for Lori Anna Harrison's column in Flagstaff Business News. Easy to find, flagstaffbusinessnews.com. And now let's take a look at Arizona's great outdoors that make Arizona living so desirable. I want to introduce you to a couple of pillars of the Northern Arizona community, longtime surgeon Dr. John Hildebrand and historian Jim Babbitt of the pioneering Babbitt Ranches family. Decades ago, they were hiking with a friend, a Flagstaff teacher named Dale Shewalter, who had this vision of a hiking trail that would take recreationists on foot, on bike, or on horseback across the state on a continuous trail from Utah to Mexico. Recreationists have turned to Arizona's vast open spaces in greater numbers than ever before. By foot, bike, or horse, the Arizona Trail, the scenic 800-mile path transecting the state, is attracting outdoor enthusiasts from around the globe. Early visionaries for this monumental and sometimes rugged adventure never imagined it would receive this kind of attention when they were blazing the way four decades ago.
The idea of an Arizona Trail was just kind of a dream, but the more we thought about it, the better idea we thought it was.
Longtime Flagstaff surgeon and expert birder Dr. John Hildebrand visits with his friend Jim Babbitt in Buffalo Park on a bench dedicated to their hiking pal, Dale Shewalter. A Flagstaff teacher, Shewalter is remembered for his warm heart and big idea about walking across Arizona from Utah to Mexico.
Anyway, the three of us, Dale and Dr. Hildebrand and myself, we were all big time into hiking. So I think when Dale had been dreaming, as were others, about a trail north to south, what later became the Arizona Trail. And so we began meeting, and maybe you can pick it up there.
Well, I don't remember too much about it, but we had a meeting, one meeting at our house and one meeting at Dale's, and just talking about the possibilities and looking at the map and trying to figure out where would be the best place for the trail to go. And hopefully we were, you know, planning to use trails that were, many of the trails that are already in existence to tie in with.
Long distance hiking wasn't in those days anywhere near as popular of a thing to do as it is now. And I remember going to your house and having all these rolled up maps, and Dale would get them out and unroll them, and we'd look for hours at, you know, these topographic maps of various segments of the trail. And, you know, you could just tell that Dale had, it was burning inside with this idea of making the trail. And so we got on board. I mean, there was nothing to not get on board about. It sounded like a fabulous idea to us.
From elbows on the table to boots on the ground, the friends covered a lot of wildland long before trails ever existed. Dr. Hildebrand was the source for the San Francisco Peaks route north of Flagstaff.
The one thing that specifically that I remember doing sometime in the late 70s, I think, was flagging the Kachina Trail across the south side of the peaks. The views, of course, of the peak were always wonderful, particularly in the fall when the aspens were changing.
Babbitt, a Flagstaff native, led the way around Lake Mary through the forest he explored as a child.
I just always enjoyed the elevation and being able to look over the lakes and look over the forest. And there was always wildlife up there, antelope, just beautiful country, as it all is.
Almost all of the Arizona Trail's 800 miles are on public land, but one very important stretch from the San Francisco Peaks to the Grand Canyon would require support from a prominent Arizona landowner.
We had to go across Babbitt Land to get to the Grand Canyon.
Fortunately, they had connections.
I was on the ranch board of primarily family members, and so they were monitoring this whole Arizona Trail project and our participation in it, very closely, very enthusiastically, very glad to see that recreational component. And I think they were real happy to have updates, you know, as it went along. And then when it was finally completed, you know, everybody had a big celebration, but it was a big deal, I think, for Babbitt Ranches and for the board to be a partner in all this.
The Babbitt Ranches passage has historical relevance. It aligns with an old stagecoach route that went to the Grand Canyon in the early 1900s.
And there was a stagecoach from Flagstaff that went, and I think they made it in a day, but it must have been, they changed horses three times, and it must have been, you know, a fast trip because it's a long way.
One of the stops was actually on our ranch at Cedar Ranch, and they, for the horses to drink out of the spring there, they got big old pine trees, chopped them down, and then hollowed them out. And they had a series of them coming down from the spring. That's the way they moved the water. So, you know, a lot of history way before the Arizona Trail.
The first to build a sign to mark the Babbitt Ranch passage was Babbitt Ranch's president and general manager, Billy Cordasco. A replica marks the spot today, a segment recently improved and celebrated by the Arizona Trail Association.
The family is certainly proud of what part we've played, and I'm individually proud of what tiny part I played and being able to be involved in it with Dr. Hildebrand and Dale. We understood that it was a gigantic challenge, I think.
Yeah, and we would both say without hesitation that Dale is really the one that did all the work, and we were just like consultants.
We lost Jim Babbitt on Monday night, November 15th. He died peacefully at his home in Flagstaff with family after a battle with illness. Jim is remembered for many things: his passion for preserving and respecting history, particularly in northern Arizona, and became known as the historian for Flagstaff. Also, his monumental efforts in conservation and love for wild places like the Grand Canyon. His deep appreciation and respect for Native cultures, and his dry sense of humor. Later in life, Jim picked up the banjo and enjoyed playing what he considered to be kind of a quirky instrument. Jim is part of the pioneering Arizona Babbitt family. To learn more about Jim Babbitt's iconic impact, please check out the December issue of Flagstaff Business News or go to flagstaffbusinessnews.com. Dr. Hildebrand, Jim Babbitt, and of course, Dale Shewalter were developing the Arizona Trail long before others got involved. They just love long-distance hiking decades before it really became popular. And I want to leave you today with this beautiful story from the slopes. This is Jessica with her mom and dad, Joy and John Dillon. Jessica is part of a big skiing family, but up until last year, because of Jessica's physical challenges, she didn't have a way to participate in this beloved family activity. But her dad, John, whose dad owned a ski shop in Flagstaff and whose cousin actually owned the Snow Bowl in the 70s and 80s, went on Snow Bowl's website and found the Adaptive Program and signed Jessica up last spring. Here's Jessica with Truman, the ski instructor. Jessica was having the time of her life. She couldn't get enough. She learned to steer to the left or the right using that big ski simply by tilting her head, and Truman just held on behind her. I talked to Jessica this week, and she confirmed she is a skier. She told me she loves skiing, and she can't wait for the winter season, which opens this month at Arizona Snow Bowl. And by the way, helping to fund the Adaptive Program is Knackered Pepsi, who is partnering with Snow Bowl in a recycling program. Money made from cans, cups, and other items that are recycled will go back to the Adaptive Program So this winter, when you're up at Snow Bowl, look for and use the recycling bins and know that you're making a difference for Jessica and many others like her. You can find out more online at the DecemberFlagstaffBusinessNews.com. A special thank you to Zoni Living sponsors, Flagstaff Business News, Quad Cities Business News, Babbitt Ranches, Enriched Solar, BT Builders, Arizona Snow Bowl, Arizona Nordic Village, Flagstaff Dark Skies Coalition, Zion Realty, Pilkington Advertising Design, and Fresh Focuses Photography. And thank you for joining me for Zoni Living, business, adventure, and leadership. I'm Bonnie Stevens.